Welcome to our program. This is Tell Me Your Story. I'm Richard Dugan. Thank you for joining us here on this Saturday, the final Saturday of 2007. And we're going to be talking about energy balancing, and as you've been hearing in the promotional announcements throughout the week, the Universal Calibration Lattice, with my guest, Peggy Phoenix Dubrow, and she'll be coming to us from Sedona, Arizona, as we talk more about this interesting energy balancing concept and your questions. You know, before the program started today, I took a walk down to State Street here in Santa Barbara, California, and walked past some of the shops and just kind of breathed in the air. Of course, we'd had a little bit of rain, very little, the last day or so, but it's nice, cool, crisp, partly cloudy. The sun is out. People are walking about and just enjoying themselves. The post-Christmas crowd as we head into New Year's and 2008. And I was thinking about my guest and what she has to offer all of us. And one of the questions, of course, that we want to put to our guest, Peggy Phoenix Dubrow, who is the developer, if you will, or you might even say the discoverer of the Universal Calibration Lattice, is how does this differ from the other concepts, if you will, of the various energy bodies that we have? And we'll dive right into that as soon as we introduce to you Peggy Phoenix Dubrow. It's good to have you on the program. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you, Richard. Nice to be here with you.
You have been involved with the UCL, and folks, I'm going to be using a lot of acronyms here, UCL and EMF and so forth, which is electromagnetic field, and there is a technique involved. We'll talk about that as well, but you've been involved with all of this probably even before 1988, but more officially around 1988, and you began this process of defining and studying and researching more, less from a spiritual and more from a scientific. Matter of fact, as I go through the book, The Elegant Empowerment, a lot of this stuff's over my head. I didn't take these higher ends of math and science in high school and college, so you have me at a great disadvantage in that regard, which is one of the reasons why we have you on the program. But tell us how it did begin.
I'd be happy to. And as far as the physics are concerned and the book Elegant Empowerment, that's why I invited a physicist to co-author with me. That particular book, just to put it where it in a place, is meant to be a reference book for many, many years to come, so that when people start, the merging of science and spirituality is certainly happening at this time. And it'll be a good reference book when people have questions. Well, what is a toroid, or what is a scalar wave, or how do we understand this? They can look at it. What's most important to me is the energy of the heart, the energy of love, and I'm more than happy to talk about how this all started. And I would like to go back to when I was 22, and when I found myself in a state of it was the end of the 60s and the beginning of the 70s, and I had this deep, deep desire to remember Creator, and I always like to joke that it was not drug-induced or alcohol-induced. Mm. I had an amazing experience. Long story short, it's in the book in the first chapter. I had always seen energy my whole life, particularly the golden energy around us. I'd watched us start to share this golden energy. It's the energy, that golden energy that we refer to, that we tend to look at people that are what we call holy. And there's a message in that. Holy and wholeness sound a lot alike. So the energy, seeing golden energy, was always quite normal for me, and I started to have an experience in wanting to remember Creator. And I was using a mantra, even though I didn't know what mantras were, and I started to say, I remember. And deep, deep in my heart, I wanted to remember Creator, God. I had reasoned at that time, if God were my father, and now I know God as father, mother, that there was a time that God and I had to be connected, And this just came from my religious background. I'd yet to study metaphysics. I'd yet to understand the broader view of what was happening for us in our evolution. Again, trying to make the long story short, I started to see electric blue light, and it was alive, and I could reach out and touch it, and I started to learn how to be with it. Again, another part, one night this light would not let me sleep. It literally was active, it was sparkling, it was there communicating on an energetic level, and I asked this energy, I asked this light, what do you have to teach me? And in that particular moment, it was as if all reality and separateness from all reality fell away. And I was taught all night long about the connectiveness of all things, about the basic of the universal love that is present, and that the basic hum, the basic beat of the universe, it was unconditional, unlimited love. It was just the most amazing experience of my life. It changed me forever. That was at 22. I very quickly learned, and I had very strong Christian roots at that time, and I very quickly learned as I talked to people about what had happened and people had different experiences, I realized it was important for me to be quiet. And so I started to study. And I went to an even deeper level of born-again Christianity. Then I started to study Siddha Yoga with Swami Muktananda. I studied shamanism with an African shaman, and then I studied with a Brazilian shaman, and then eventually with a Native American. I studied martial arts. I did Taekwondo. I did Kung Fu. Now it's Tai Chi. I also, during that time, did some belly dancing, and I learned during the belly dancing the dance of the seven veils and had many things happening energetically. So those are just some of the paths to bring it to the next experience I had of no beginning and no end. And I knew it would happen again. And finally, after 15 years of study and learning about the chakras, which I didn't know anything about, and in that first experience of no beginning and no end, all my chakras blew wide open, including the smaller ones. It was such an experience that changed my focus of what it means to be here. But I didn't know how to manifest it. I was having many inspirational events, many high events, but living it and bringing it into daily life was just not manifesting. It wasn't happening. The second experience of no beginning and no end is in 1988, when I literally had a merging of this female form of energy within my own being, and we could call that another part of my being. And in this merging, I literally became the pattern of the universal calibration lattice. And that pattern, that energy understanding started to help me manifest all those high ideals, all those insights, that greater energy, that greater reality that I knew was possible for us, but I wasn't quite being able to put into my own life. You start with your own life. And then I started to notice over time that the same pattern, this universal calibration lattice, was not only in my field, but it was in everyone else I was looking at. And then out of that, born out of this energy of love, this energy of understanding of how unique we are and how connected we are, I started to work with the lattice. And there is a DVD called The Lattice that will give people some insight into some of what I see. It's got a beautiful animation in it. It also will tell people how to start to work with it. We have the introductory energy session there. But it is an system in our energy anatomy that is constantly in calibration. And we are in an unprecedented time of evolution. And as we're evolving and as our understandings are evolving, it's a time for integration. And that system is specifically to serve for each one of us to integrate our wholeness. The more whole you are, the more whole each one of us are, the better for all of us. It's no longer one person having all the answers. And this, for me, it's been a driving passion to teach people about the lattice, and it's been embraced in over 65 countries around the world. It's taught in many, many different languages, and the developing understanding, it's something that I will continue with for the rest of my life.
It is something that, as I come across it, is reminiscent, from my perspective, from a rudimentary perspective, of so many other teaching systems that describe the energy body. But as you start to talk about this, there's something different about it. There's something very unique about it that we need to understand in order to better understand how, because we take a look at our health.
Yes.
And we want to be putting into our physical bodies the right things. And we, both through our mouths as far as sustenance, both liquids and solids, but also through our ears and through our eyes.
Right, beautifully said.
And so now you are giving us another realm here where we talk about the UCL and another way to, shall we say, fine-tune it, to allow ourselves, and I'm paraphrasing from some of the material that I've read, to allow ourselves to become a cleaner conduit of the energy in the universe.
Beautiful. And you'll see a lot of figure eights through that lattice. And what's interesting is it's I make figure eights with everybody I meet. And in our community of people that are doing the EMF work, we really work with those figure eights. Because what is at the core of the teaching is for each one of us to become as strong and as clear and as whole as we possibly can. And to do that in an understanding that as each one of us becomes stronger, we all become stronger. And that's been a focus of this work, making first working with oneself and making community. And it strengthens the energy of the heart. It strengthens the energy of love to take us to a new understanding of what it means to manifest our wholeness and our holiness. And there is another thing I would say here. You said it's different. First, if you're looking on top of the universal calibration lattice, and we have illustrations of this so that people can see it. They can even see a little bit of this right on our website. But if you're looking down on top of the lattice, there is a pattern that forms, and the pattern looks a lot like a halo. Only it's been 20 years worth of study of using and proving, of understanding what's within this energy. The key to our freedom is right within ourselves. The key to our wholeness is right within ourselves. And as we continue to calibrate that wholeness, there's a centeredness within the very core of our being that evolves, that just brings along with it our natural inclination to reach out to others, not in a domination or what I have is better than yours, but in an understanding, this is something else that comes along with this teaching, a community, and I've been doing a lot with community meetings around the world, also that all of us, whether you're working with the EMF work or not, the information within the lattice, the universal calibration lattice, that system in everyone's energy anatomy, the more each of us understand it, the stronger we can become in who we are and what we're doing. And whether people are doing the EMF work or not, we're still working together. And these are the things I have found through this beautiful energy of wholeness to honor the uniqueness of the individuals and to also honor how connected we are. My heart is so full with this work. And people touch this and they say how they feel within their heart and how connected they feel. And to me, that's anchoring that heaven on earth. And I know we have a lot of work to do here. I'm a very practical mystic, even though I'm talking in a very poetic way. My physicist friend would say I talk flower pot language, and that's fine. Physicist inspires me, I inspire the physicist. So that's how it works. And there is another difference that comes with this, and it is interesting. This information came through a female body. And also the work itself, the EMF balancing technique, that was anchored. I always thought that I was the first anchor for that, but I later realized that during those times that I first started to speak, and I was so afraid of speaking as I'm talking so much now, but my two children, I would bring them with me everywhere. I have two daughters, and just about 5 years ago, I suddenly realized that the energy was really being anchored by three females. So it's not a male-female separate thing. It's a male-female balance that's occurring. And certainly in this time of new evolution and birth and all the things we're doing, the honoring of the feminine within all of us, no matter what bodies we're wearing, is there. So it's thank you. You've picked up some of the resonance within the understanding of the lattice that makes it very unique and brings together a wholeness to the understanding.
It's a different, I'm going to call it a skeletal structure, but not of the human body, and not even in context of the physical human body. It's a skeletal structure of the energetic body, of the spirit being in a human physical body that needs to be balanced. Can you describe a little bit for us, and again, it's difficult, I would actually recommend more that folks go to your website or even pick up a copy of the book to get a good picture of the lattice. By the way, if you're calling in right now, please hold on, I'll get to you in just a moment. Don't hang up, I'll pick you up and we'll have you ask your question of Peggy. But I want you to describe as best you can, give us a word picture of what this lattice looks like from, say, the front. You've already described it. It looks like a halo from above. Give us a little bit more description of that, if you can.
Okay. And if they really want a good, just to back up for a moment, if they really want to have a good sight of it, when they go to the website, they'll see a little bit, they'll see a small clip from a DVD that we made. And it'll give them more information. And the DVD itself has open-eyed meditations or contemplations that one can do to sense very quickly, to sense their own lattice. It is a skeletal system. It is a foundation. It is a structure. And the way it looks is at the beneath the feet, there's like this golden globe of energy, which is the center below. It's the place where we can really integrate with the earth energies in our new awareness of taking greater responsibility for ourselves. And we've been evolving that since the time of the 11-11, where we said, yes, we will take more responsibility for our walk on the planet and who we are and how we're being here. So even our interaction with the energy of the planet has been changing. And then there's another, like, golden globe area above the head. And yes, this is a very linear explanation. It's very hard to talk about something fifth dimensional or holographic, but this is where we would say our higher inspirations are. This is where we reach for our higher understandings. And I quite often remind myself, I don't care to call for that my higher self, because if that's the higher self, then when I look at myself in the physical, that kind of puts me right into lower self state. So let's, if we look at that golden area as the higher inspirations, it's a doorway for learning how to bring in this information. And then the lattice itself connects through the very core of our being, the center below and the center above. And coming from the core is something that's being taught in all kinds of understandings, because that is the place where we are most centered. But these figure eights, and when I first started seeing figure eights in the energy field radiating from the chakra system, I really thought this was it. I'd gone off the deep edge. It was all done. But the figure eights are very meaningful, and they will become even more meaningful in this time of evolution. And it's the way the energy travels through the energy anatomy, and information travels through the energy anatomy. It gives us a chance to calibrate, to translate the energies. You know, it's one thing to get a lot of inspiration and a lot of energy. It's another thing to learn how to translate it into usable knowledge in our daily life. Mm-hmm. And that's what we're learning to do. And then you'll notice there's fibers. There's 12, actually there's 24 of them now, but there's 12 fibers on the outside of this lattice and the skeleton. And these fibers contain information, and the information is of each person. Your fibers contain the information of you. What I would suggest is that during this time of 11-11, that which we've referred to as Akashic Records have been released into our field. And whether it's a copy of them or it's the original records, from what I see with this lattice and what we're working with, we are meeting more of each other in our wholeness than we ever had before. Now, was this lattice already there? Quite possible. During 1988, when I had the experience, did a collective consciousness create a space where it could finally be seen and be touched? I believe that this is part of it. This is what happened for me. And I remember that. I want to back up. I'm talking just a little bit about the construct of the lattice, and they'll be able to see it. But But for me, in 1988, as I kept seeing this golden energy move between people, and I started to see us sharing that golden energy, I'd heard a lot at that time about the destruction of the planet. But I also remember that there was a time of grace that was talked about, give 1,000, 2,000 years, whatever. And I believe that we have a choice about creating that grace. And I remember praying with all my heart to the universe, to Creator, in the way I understand, please, please, how do we get this grace in here? How can we manifest it here in three-dimensional reality? Please, I don't want to talk about it and philosophize about it for another 1,000 years. What can we do? Mm. And I had that experience, again, of that no beginning and no end, and that's when I saw the lattice. And the lattice really is such a part of our energy anatomy, and we're just beginning to understand how to really move consciously the energetic patterns through our field, because as we start to change our energetic patterns in our energy, we give off a whole different message to those around us, to our co-creators on the planet, and to the universe. So it's learning how to become more skilled at that.
If you've just joined us, my guest is Peggy Phoenix Dubrow, and we're talking about the Universal Calibration Lattice. We're also going to discuss the electromagnetic field technique, the process of helping to sort of make the lattice more efficient in the electrical flows that will allow us to do the things that we're here to do,
yes,
that we have chosen, that we've come here to do. Some of us are in that process, and others of us are just finding out what that is. Needless to say, it really is quite simple. It's almost along the lines of the circulatory system, and if you start, if there's builds up in those arteries and those veins, you don't have the blood flow that you normally would, and then you don't have the good health. You don't have the heart pumping normally. You don't have blood flow to the brain and the other parts of the body so that they will function properly. Well, this is now an electrical system, and an electrician will tell you the same thing. If you constantly are putting splice after splice in a wire, mm-hmm, down the line, you have more and more resistance. So by the time that the power gets to the other end, it's not what it could be if it was just a clean line. So that's kind of what we're talking about from a, shall we say, from a health standpoint. But we're also talking about your research and your findings over the last 20 years. And I'm sure that it's got to amaze you, even to you, that it's already been 20 years since 1988 that you've been actively pursuing this, working with the co-author, your scientist friend, is it David P. LaPierre?
David LaPierre.
LaPierre.
Yeah, right.
And he is the one who's put together all of the good scientific information in the book and has worked with you to make this more understandable to the common person. I will say, Peggy, that my best description would be it's the human body that sits inside and is actually sort of hovering between the upper and lower points of an oval or egg. And then when you look down on that egg from above, you see all these swirls, and they come, they swirl out to the front, to the back, to the two sides. And then, and I say north, south, east, west, then northwest, northeast, southwest, southeast, if you will. And that's how they swirl. And they come from the seven chakras as well. How does the lattice, how does it correlate with the seven chakras that we all know from various teachings?
It's an extension of the chakra system. It's a result of our evolution. It's a result, like when these things come along, it's not to negate what has been, it builds upon. And of course, we've had all these beautiful teachings and understandings of our energy anatomy. We have the meridians, we have the chakras, the universal calibration lattice, the system within the energy anatomy is the result of our evolving and our ability to be able to touch it and work with it. I mean, people, I like to tell everybody everywhere, when I travel and I teach, and we travel all over the world, and I've been traveling internationally for 11 years now with my husband, and I always greet audiences with, hello, family of humanity. I always start there. And then I like to see, watch their energy fields, and it's always interesting, no matter what language we're speaking, the energy of language is different. It's universal. There's something about it. And as this energy anatomy, as I start to observe it and I look at the figure eights and I'm watching for the movements that I know say to me, people's hearts are open and they're ready to hear and understand and look at one another and hear and understand that, you know, how unique we are and how connected we are. This is like an extension of our nervous system, our sympathetic and parasympathetic nervous system. And we know we can feel one another, and we know we can touch one another energetically. But I like to tell people everywhere, just being born on the planet, because you are energy, because we're all energy, you are all energy workers. Whether you're doing a modality or not, you are capable of working with energy because you're energy. And so this system enables people to work with the enormous amounts of energy that we're actually touching at this time as evolving humans.
It's an amazing piece of work that you've put together and that you've discovered. And folks, the primary benefits of this electromagnetic balancing technique basically is it's going to help to strengthen the universal lattice. As Peggy has told us, it's a complex system in the human energy anatomy with a simple purpose: to carry the greater electrical charge that is now available to all human beings.
Absolutely.
That is something that has been taught to me over the years as I went through the three levels of Reiki training, this is not an energy that is only available to me, and I'm not some special conduit. In spite of the fact that each one of us is special and unique in our own ways,
exactly,
this is something that, as you say, is available. It's as available to us as the air we breathe.
Absolutely.
But so much cleaner.
Well, it's learning to work with it. In the beginning, and I am one, my nature is not to create foundations. I am not put together that way. And I'm very freeform, and I was for a long, long time. And I was way out there with my understanding. It was once I understood the beauty of a foundation that I was able to manifest more and more of the understanding of my own evolution. And then I was able to turn around and I can teach people how to work with this. And I can also teach people how to teach it. So for me, it started with I take joy in watching others grow. And that is what the EMF balancing technique is for. It's to help amplify the individual's understanding of themselves. Each one of us has something very unique that we bring here to the planet. And to bring that uniqueness through, to bring that wholeness through, and wherever I'm at, I always like to say in the English language, holiness and wholeness sound a lot alike. And we're talking about holographic reality and a holographic human. I'm talking a lot about love and from my own spiritual experience, but I've also learned through physics and through many different scientists and doctors and psychologists and all the different people I've met since I've been out in the world who will come up and say, I can tell you because of this principle, it validates what you're saying. That is really wonderful. Another way to look at the lattice. And ultimately, though, before I go any further, I want to say the energy of love is the energy that we're manifesting. But if you were to look at the lattice, a scientific name for it would be to call it an interdimensional hyperspatial construct. For those who say, all right, I know that there is more to me. I know that I am a multidimensional holographic human being. What does that mean? And even scientists are saying these days that we think holographically. And if your listeners and yourself, if you think about how you get your inspirations and how you can have several things going on inside of your mind and in your feelings at once, start to see it as a holographic reality. And how we are able to develop the holographic thinking, we will start to put, we will be able to uncover, I would say, more of what it means to be a whole human being.
Mm. You know, I've had a number of guests on in the past few weeks, in particular, who talked about the union of spirit and technology, and I used to, I made the comment that, but those are like mutually exclusive terms, like military intelligence. You can't mix the two, spirit and technology. But then we began to break that down, and then we began to realize that, yeah, there is a connection, and yes, they can be united, because it is the spirit, if you will, the intuition of the inventors of the various technologies that we now use today that have become what we used to say. Marconi inventing the radio.
Yeah.
And that's why you and I are here today. Alexander Graham Bell developing the phone. And if it wasn't for those two gentlemen, you and I would probably, if we were speaking together, together, we would be speaking in an outdoor auditorium as loud as we could to a group of people without any electronic means to our disposal. But the fact of the matter is that it is all one, and it is all energy, as my guests keep saying, and it's like hammering it home, and when are we going to get it, that we're all energy and so forth. It's a phenomenal thing, and we encourage you to use Alexander Graham Bell's invention called the telephone if you have a question for Peggy. The number is 879-547-8879-KIST, 879-5478 if you have a question. Be patient. We will get to your call as we continue talking with Peggy Phoenix Dubrow regarding the universal calibration lattice as well as the electromagnetic field balancing technique. You can go to the website, which is emfworldwide.com, emfworldwide.com. You can also go to richarddugan.com, go to the show's page, or you can go down to where this program will be available following the broadcast. There is a link to her website that you can access, and you can get a great deal more information about the electromagnetic field balancing technique and as well as the universal calibration lattice. Now, my wife and I sat and we watched the DV front to back.
Oh, good.
And she turned to me and she said, "You know, we should start doing this."
Oh, lovely.
To which I didn't give an answer then, but I do now, and the answer is yes.
Thank you.
Because I know she's listening, and
she has beautiful, silky energy. By the way, your wife is lovely.
She is marvelous and beautiful, and she is probably the greatest. supporter of what we're doing here, and I trust her intuition a great deal when we're preparing to do these programs, and we talk about the guests even prior. I myself would not usually do a great deal of preparation, but I've taken the position, and this kind of goes to that intuition. These radio programs for the last 30 years that I've been doing them have always gone where they choose to go.
Yeah, I honor that. That's very good.
Ergo, the show itself overall goes where it's going to go. And so when I'm led to pull out, it was just one Sunday morning, and I was going through the materials that I'd received from different guests, you included, pulled out the DVD, we put it in the machine, started watching it, and it's just, it's one of the other elements of this technique is that it is not, it's not difficult.
Correct. It's not difficult.
And am I understanding also that it's not something that you have to have all of the technical knowledge contained within the Elegant Empowerment Evolution of Consciousness textbook, that you can just do this with the intent of helping that energy flow to become greater, if you will?
Precisely. The Elegant Empowerment, that's like, it's interesting, that was the first book. My husband and I are working on another book that will be from our hearts, and my husband is also my partner. I would, to be out in the world with what we have and to have a technique in an arena that sometimes people say, well, what is technique? And it will hold you back, or it's this or that. Technique is a method and a way, and the technique itself is something that in the beginning people really resisted the idea that there would be a set pattern. It's a way of, this is all about learning to speak that language of energy, to speak the language of wholeness. And so there is this technique, and we it's taught very quickly and simply, and one can go into it and learn it the beginning from the DVD. They can also go and learn more, and the work they can learn more by taking a weekend workshop. They can also learn how to do the phases of the work. I'm just finishing up now. This work will actually have 13 phases to it when it's complete. And the work itself, believe it or not, I have always wanted to go more mainstream with what we have. And that's good news for all of us who tend to be on the edge of reality. And I'm sure many of your listeners know who I'm speaking to. We are people of the edge. We push back the edge of understanding to develop, to evolve, to grow. But I want to tell you that the EMF balancing technique is now being taught in an integrative psychology institute in Moscow. And it is also as part of the curriculum there, and it is also being taught at the Reidman School of Complementary Medicine in Israel. And we have several other educational institutions that are looking at this work. this, to me, we're building bridges all over the world. I've had classes with people from, and actually I have a class coming here in Sedona with people from 27 countries. The MOA site taught was from 17 different countries, and they're not big number classes, but people come from all over. And 17 different countries. I watch them roll up their sleeves. I watch them learn how to do this work and to work with one another, and they put their differences aside. There are so many ways to build peace. We start with ourselves, and when I see how this work is building a community of understanding with people, even if we don't completely understand each other, it's still building a community. To me, again, that's every little bit counts. So there's many facets to this work that in this brief amount of time, it's hard to address.
Yeah.
But I wanted people to understand this. And then there is one other thing to talk to your listeners. Again, whether you're doing the EMF work or not, long time ago, when I first started doing this work, I had, and I want to talk about this for just a moment, the community of those of us who see ourselves as evolutionaries, who see ourselves as people who know there's more to life, and we're working to manifest that. I've been doing community meetings all over the world where I'm making an invitation for those of us in this arena to take just a little bit of an effort to learn to support one another a bit more. There's so much work to be done in the world, and I started this 2 years ago, and I've done it in Russia and Japan and all throughout Europe and South America, and everywhere I go at the end, I will say to people, you know, we know there's more to life than meets the eye. What if we were to treat one another with more respect, to honor the works that each one's bringing in? I made this decision for myself 20 years ago when I first started to do this work, and I started to notice I developed an attitude that I thought what I had was the best and the only thing people needed. And all of this was first about my own soul's growth, and I realized that I was developing into a person that I did not want to become. And I actually stopped doing all my work for 3 months, and I went very, very quiet when I saw where I was going and what I was saying and who I was becoming. And I recalibrated myself, and I made a decision inside of myself that I would honor all efforts. And so it's a joy to be on your show with all the different people that you have, with your own efforts you're making, to speak to your listeners, to all of them who are making their efforts to make this world a more evolved place, a place of accelerated awareness and enlightenment. We're all working together. And that's important, and so it's a real great opportunity to be able to say that on your show.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that, and I have to say, first of all, that from my standpoint, you're speaking about taking a position of humility, and I have done the same. That is why I say I don't control these interviews. They go where the universe takes them. I go along for the ride. That also prevents me from having to have those moments of what's referred to as comeuppance that then will humble me. If I don't have any control over this thing, then I can't take credit for it. I'm just kind of here with the voice, and you're here with the voice, and we put the information out, and people can do with it what they will, and then I walk away and move on to the next level and just keep enjoying and having fun and enlightening people hopefully along the way, and myself as well. The other thing you mentioned too about the technique, I was in a Tai Chi class with my wife after we had first met, and the instructor, Sunyata Saraswati, was sharing the movements and so forth, and I was new to this. I wasn't moving well at all. And he said to me, and I think this sort of applies to what you're saying, he said, "Don't worry about the form. Just let the energy take you." And that eased things up. It didn't mean I did the movements any better, but I wasn't feeling self-conscious or uneasy about making whatever movements I made. I did try to follow the rest of the class in the best way that I could. And so I think what you're saying is that, yes, there is a form. People get a little concerned about that when you have a structure. You're talking evolution, talking these higher spiritual things, and you have this structure.
I'm talking to rebels. I'm one myself. The universe says, I have a job for you.
Exactly. And with that, I would then also put you in the category, as my wife and I would like to say, you and I and others like us, we are what we call fringe dwellers.
Fringe dwellers.
And I think that's quite appropriate because even though you have experienced a great deal of mainstreamness around the world.
Yes.
My question to you now is, and what is the acceptance in this, your own home, the U.S. of A.? Because you and I both know how difficult it is sometimes for these kinds of concepts to make their way into the mainstream. The terminology, that's one thing.
Mm-hmm.
But the actual techniques and the acceptance of this, I mean, I still can remember back in the 80s how much trouble chiropractic medicine was having getting into the mainstream, and now it's nothing. It's no big deal.
Yeah, we're starting to touch the United States first. It's interesting that we were taken all over the world. My husband and I went where the energy took us, and it's been an interesting learning experience. We have become global citizens. And here in the U.S., I love my country. One of my ancestors signed the Declaration of Independence, and so we all have places where we are free. We all have places where we are not free. And so bringing the energy here and the teaching of the work here, we're starting to do more here in the United States. As a matter of fact, I started to host speakers here in Sedona where they teach one day and I teach another. And my first guest speaker is going to be our friend Greg Braden.
Yes.
And he will be here in Sedona. And we have, I'm walking my talk, what I believe. I can honor others in their truth and their expertise and the beautiful things they're bringing in, and also feel very secure with what I have to bring. To continue to bring it into the United States, my husband and I are actually putting time aside. I think the second half of 2009, we are going to try to stay in the country and to do a lot more radio interviews and speaking here. It will come when the time is right for this. And I feel that we've also learned how to speak the language. And this is funny. I was just in Colombia and Venezuela, just and in both those countries, and I'm right there during the socialist reform time, and there's all kinds of marches outside our street, and the people were so happy we were there. And I wound up on two mainstream news shows, one in Colombia and one in Venezuela. And in Venezuela, I was treated with such respect, and in Colombia, here's the beautiful newscaster lady, and my time is, they're going to put this little clip on, and instead of saying, there's this woman from the United States, and she's a total nut, she says, there is this very special woman from the United States who has come to visit us here in Colombia. And then they showed the lattice, and they showed the work being done, and they had a little clip where I answered a few questions. It's coming. It's just sometimes to go mainstream, you have to kind of go a few places and prove yourself and then come into this place.
I remember when a book called The Celestine Prophecy came out back in the early 90s, I was taken by that book.
Mm-hmm.
And I still have the images in my head, but you talk about those parts of the world because that's where some of this book took you.
Mm-hmm.
And where I live now, here in the on the Central Coast in Santa Barbara, we don't live in the city. We live in the country, if you will, a rural area, and it's wonderful, the trees and all this. And you talk about these different areas that though they have been, to a greater or less degree, westernized, I'm wondering, is it the countries that are not as Western, or because you've discussed the fact that your techniques and the lattice work is being taught in Israel and in Moscow and some of these other places around the world, and I know that it's coming in the United States, but it just seems like it's those little droplets that start the ripples to other places as well. And I mean, that's just what I see in my mind's eye, as these places that are more, they're more receptive because they haven't been brainwashed is the only word I can think
of. Well, the thing here is that the work is being practiced in 65 countries. The places I just mentioned to you, these are actually educational institutions that are taking, and this is really exciting. What I have found, how would I say this? I think, first off, I am a U.S. citizen. And sometimes in your own home, it takes a while before you are noticed. And that's fine. I mean, this is, I've learned a lot being on this path. Someday I will write the book to say what it's been like to bring a new energy work into the world, because it's not all that easy all the time. And there are many, many things you're tested. And it's wonderful. I mean, I'm not complaining. I'm someone who is very, very shy, scared to death to speak in front of people. And now I speak in front of audiences of 1,000, 2,000, and I'm comfortable because what I'm seeing is the face of God, and I'm seeing my human family. And when people start to see this, and before I did this work, I was a daycare provider. I took care of little children because I wanted to stay at home with my children. And I did that with all my heart. So for your listeners, for the people that I'm feeling that listen to you, that are avant-garde, that are moving forward, that are developing, that are growing, I want to say to them, you know, just do what you're doing with all your heart, because many are doing two different jobs. I never dreamed that this would become, this is my work, traveling around the world, and my whole family is involved in it. And then we have many people in different countries who get involved, and it's family. And I look forward when here in the United States the work will be more recognized and in its own time. I mean, again, I make effort, but ultimately I wait until it is appropriate, till collective consciousness, till the universe, till the time says, yes, it's now.
Yeah.
So it's for all those that are listening to also be aware of those dynamics. This is how it works.
Well, and this program is designed to bring new paradigms for a new world, a better world.
Yes, it
and
is.
A world that we can be proud to call our own. Right now, I don't think a lot of us are all that excited about the world we're living in. And yet, in one sense, we kind of have to embrace the world we are living in, because we did create this.
Yes.
And we can create something different, but we have to begin with our own microcosm, if you will, and then that begins to ripple out. And that can start with maybe having the EMF balancing technique done on your universal calibration lattice. And
the lattice is the system.
It
the
radiates
EMF
out.
The balancing technique is the work, and that's how it goes.
Well, I tell you, it's exciting to hear these new concepts and new ideas. At the age of 17, began to research and study these things.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not even sure why. Doesn't matter why. The fact is I did, and I find myself here. I am 30 years later, and we're talking with different people. You mentioned Greg Braden. We've had him on our program back in September, and I'm very excited about the fact that you're going to have him out there in Sedona in February of 2008, and folks can get information about his appearance there at your seminar, your workshop there in Sedona, by going to richarddugan.com, clicking on the shows page, and going down to the link for Peggy Phoenix Dubrow, and it'll take you straight to emfworldwide.com, and you can get all that information, get information about the universal calibration lattice, and all of the other wonderful things that you have available.
And may I make a suggestion?
Please.
For your listeners, when you go to our website, if you would look and click on the media room and go to the Venezuela events, you're going to see each clip is about 2 minutes. One are about 60 practitioners doing the sessions in a park in Venezuela. And the second one is the end of a teaching I gave, of a week-long teaching. And you're going to see lots of people, smiling faces, standing, and I'm there. But what is amazing to me when I look at it is that our leaders are at odds with one another, and yet all of these people, you'll see there's lots of hugging, there's close body contact, we're connected. We're the ones that change the world. And I think that's really important to remember. And those two little clips will say a lot if people would take just a few minutes to go look at them. And what I would hope is that, it's not to say I'm so great, it's to say to you and to all your listeners, every little effort counts. We're the ones that can make the difference.
There's a giant circle, and there are 6 billion points on it, and every point is important and valid, whether it's Peggy Phoenix Dubrow or Greg Braden or myself or any of the guests I've had on or any of the people that you've researched and studied and listened to and bought their tapes or CDs or just talked with on the street, for that matter. Everybody's perspective has value, and we need to start embracing that. Working in religious radio, now, that's a tough one for me. When I was first working in religious broadcasting in the 80s, early 90s, and saying, oh, yeah, they all have value, when in many instances, all I saw was what I saw, that wasn't what was being necessarily presented, though, was hatred. for the other belief systems that, that didn't conform to their way of doing things.
This has been, I live with a great deal of praise and a great deal of criticism, and in the beginning I was very naive and afraid at first, and now I've understood that it's just part of the fire of what it means to be here, and that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
I'll take it because I learn, and other people learn, and we've grown. I do want to take a moment to publicly credit my husband, Stephen Dubrow, because he is the other partner in this work, and my Mr. Tall, Dark, and Handsome guy there is just, if he weren't by my side, I'm not so sure I'd go back out there a few times. But I have fallen in love with my family of humanity, and there's no stopping us now, because I really have found this, that there are many, and we're all thinking in a certain direction. And I believe that when we reach not only critical mass, but just a certain space where we're able to honor one another and say, yes, keep going to each other, even if it's different, we are really going to move exponentially with what we see as possible. And the evolutionaries out there, they know who we're talking, that we know, you know who you are.
You know who you are. And we know how to find you.
Oh, good.
And the only reason we know this is because as we do these programs, you will be drawn to us and we to you, as
exactly.
goes the law of attraction. There's nothing CIA-ish about it, folks.
Right, very well.
This is called the law of attraction in the universe. You take it up with the universe, not with me.
You got to love it, being here on the planet and loving life, and you got to be able to laugh and
you
look
do.
At all of it and say, let's do it. So it's really been lovely talking with you, and I can feel the connection with everyone. And it's like we join our hearts together, and there's much work to be done, and together we can do it.
And even the lattice, even the universal calibration lattice, that is even evolving. I mean, it is what it is today, but you haven't stopped your researching of it, and things are revealed to you as time goes on, and so on and so forth. So is that a pretty accurate statement?
That is correct. As a matter of fact, as I've developed, the 9 through 12 is going to be taught this year. So now the 12 phases of the EMF will be in. The 13th phase will be out there for everyone. It's going to be very interesting to see how that is. But the lattice itself is evolving. And that's because collective consciousness is saying yes. And I would make a point. First, the development of the EMF were the first four phases, and that's the foundations. And then came along phases 5 through 8, which really surprised me. I didn't understand that there would be 13 phases to this body of work, but I could not get to the information of phases 5 through 8 until collective consciousness said yes. I was so surprised at that. And so the evolution of the lattice will continue, and people are working with it. And of course, as an individual is able to be more in their core and changes their own awareness of themselves, their dynamics with their families. We have people, families, who say, we incorporated this into our lives and our family dynamics have changed. And then, of course, there's the greater family of our community and the greater family of our world. And there's much to be learned from just if a person from listening today were to understand the lattice a bit more, and they can get quite a bit of information from the DVD. I put it out there with a lot of information on purpose so that people could know more about themselves and to do the introductory session as you and your wife looked at. Try it. See how you feel. We believe that honoring one another is the key to the next step of what we plan to do in this world.
If you are joining us, we are talking with Peggy Dubrow, Peggy Phoenix Dubrow, and she is coming to us from Sedona, Arizona, and that was my home state. And we are talking about some concepts, some ideas that may be foreign to you. We certainly hope that you will maybe do a little investigating. Go to emfworldwide.com and check it out. It can't hurt you. I guarantee you no harm will come to you. Only good can come to you. You can check it out. It may not resonate with you today, and that's okay. This isn't about getting everybody to conform to any one or 10 different ways of doing things. This is about putting those ideas out there and giving you the opportunity to pick and choose what resonates with you, what works for you. And I am certainly very grateful for you taking the time out of what I'm sure is a busy schedule, especially around the holidays, as we're in between Christmas and New Year's. You are an intuitive, is that correct?
Yes, indeed.
Tell me your impressions or perceptions in the last minute or so of 2008.
2008, energetically, for each one of us, will help us really strengthen the foundations of what we think is possible. It's a powerful year. Stay strong, stay steady, and live your truth, because this is what's coming. And the foundations are important as we strengthen our heart centers and we dare to strengthen the energy of love on this planet even more. This is a beginning time. It's a whole new cycle.
It's an exciting time. The mm-hmm. new year is just that. It's something new. You, as they say, start with a clean slate,
Yes. And
you pick it up from there, and you move forward. And again, we thank you for moving forward into the end of 2007 with us, and we would look forward to having you back on the program to talk more about the Universal Calibration Lattice and the EMF, or Electromagnetic Field Balancing Technique, and the various seminars that you have coming up. And if I don't talk to him beforehand to tell Greg I said hello, I'm looking forward to having him back on again. I know he's working on another book, and we're going to have you and some other folks on again in 2008 to continue these wonderful discussions in these various realms. And Peggy, stay on the line. We're going to be talking with you in just a few moments after the program. I'm Richard Dugan, and I thank you for joining us here on Tell Me Your Story. Next week, which is going to be the first program for the new year, we're going to be talking with Bobby Fried. Robert Fried is the author of Marketing Plan for Life. Marketing Plan for Life? What? How can you create a marketing? You do that for your business. Yeah, well, believe it or not, the concepts work just as well in your personal life and can bring you both business as well as personal success, whatever you deem that success to be. We hope you'll join us next Saturday morning, 11 a.m. right here on Tell Me Your Story. And also remember that, as always, these programs are available on the website, richarddugan.com. That's richarddugan.com. Please email me. Let me know what you think of the program, and let me know if there are guests that you might be interested in having us have on the program. And join us again next Saturday at 11 a.m. for Tell Me Your Story. I'm Richard Dugan. Again, the website, richarddugan.com. And as always, love to love.